Hey, everybody. Gavin Wax joins us. He's the president of New York Young Republicans, talking about the Donald Trump taking over the Bronx, a decision in Texas that could impact the rest of the country's congressional districts. And finally, we gear up to see many of you in Detroit. If you don't yet have your tickets, go to tpaction.com/peoples. That is tpaction.com/peoples. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. And get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
We continue covering the Bronx takeover, the MAGA takeover of the Bronx, here with Gavin Wax, who is the president of the New York Young Republicans. He's doing a great job with that. Gavin, give us some idea of what it was like yesterday and some context for our national audience of how remarkable it is to have a turnout like that in the Bronx.
Well, thank you for having me on, Charlie. And absolutely, this was a historic event by any measure. I mean, the last Republican to win the Bronx was 100 years ago with Calvin Coolidge. And many other presidents, Republicans and Democrats, have tried to visit the South Bronx. Jimmy Carter tried, Reagan tried, all those ended up in disaster. What we saw yesterday was a massive outpour of support for President Trump in one of the bluest areas of the country. You know, some estimates as high as 25,000 people showed up, being on the ground there myself, you know, setting up from early in the morning and not leaving until well after the rally finished. I can attest to those numbers. There were more people outside trying to get in than were actually able to get inside due to the security and due to the limitations of the park. So this just goes to show the outpouring of support. And despite what some people are trying to say, the vast, vast, vast majority of these people, if they were not from the Bronx, they were from Upper Manhattan, they were from the outer boroughs. This was a New York crowd through and through. It really showed all sides of this city, all sides of America. And it reiterates that Make America Great Again applies to all Americans, not just red states, but blue states, urban America, suburban, rural, you know, from Detroit and the Rust Belt to the South Bronx. It doesn't matter. And what we saw there today, which we're seeing on the screen right now, is just more confirmation of that.
Yeah, I mean, so this kind of walk us through how this evolved. It was originally going to be kind of like a meet and greet. I'm going to go to the Bronx. And then it turned into like a full-fledged MAGA rally. Break that down for us.
Yeah, absolutely. We had the honor of having President Trump at our annual gala this past December. I became aware of some, I saw a great video that Kara Castronova did on Newsmax, where she went did some man on the street type of videos in the Bronx. And we, you know, we were talking New York politics. And I just brought up, I said, hey, did you see this video? You know, there's a lot of support on the ground here. You really should consider doing something historic, you know. And I mentioned again how others have failed where he can succeed, being a native New Yorker himself. He seemed to like it. We were in talks with the team starting in January, scouting different locations. It was originally planned to be an indoor rally. We had some venues that were indoors, but then the numbers kept jumping up. It went from more of a retail stop, then from an indoor kind of like round table, and then it fully scaled up to a rally. So we picked the biggest park in the South Bronx, which is being which is defined as south of Fordham Road, and that's Crotona Park. We worked with City Council Member Joe Borelli to get all the permits for the park, you know, paid the money. We were fighting to get more space, but obviously the city of New York was not going to be as amenable as they could have, which was also part of the reason why many people struggled to get in, because the number of mags that Secret Service could have is only dependent on the permit. But we still packed it out. The club printed almost 6,000-7,000 flyers, double-sided, bilingual, Spanish and English. And our friends at the Bodega Association, who we did the Bodega Stop with in the Heights, and the Hispanic National Supermarket Association spread those across the entire Bronx. And we took over several electronic billboards in the lead up to the event to promote. So honestly, anyone saying otherwise, they should be ashamed of themselves, because this scared the living crap out of AOC and the Democrat establishment in the Bronx. They couldn't even muster a protest in the days leading up to it or the day of. They had a town hall with AOC with about 12 people half asleep. Richie Torres had a press conference with about 30 people. I mean, these guys are jokes. They're clowns. And Trump really came to town in a strong way.
Let's play out 177. I want to play the tape here of AOC's it wasn't even a town hall. I mean, it was like it was like five
hall.
Or six people. Yeah, play cut 177. I mean, that's just sad. And there's like nine people there. So does that, let me be clear, Gavin. Was that happening concurrently with simultaneously with the Trump rally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people were lining up at the Trump rally starting at 8:10 o'clock. I think this happened probably before, obviously, the speaker started, but it was happening as things were building up. And, you know, she was out there on Twitter praying to God for rain. I had no idea she believed in God. So that was the biggest surprise. But it's kind of interesting. They're showing their hand here, Charlie. Why would they be praying for rain? Why would they be trying to shut down the subways if they didn't think President Trump had any support? Because, you know, if it would make sense that if he truly had no support in the Bronx, then let him do it. His rally and let him be embarrassed. But the fact is, they were trying to sabotage this event because they had a suspicion that he would get a good showing, that he would, a lot of people would come out. And let me just remind your viewers that this is a park deep in the Bronx. There's very little parking. So any idea that there were, like, you know, people driving in from the suburbs or being bused in, it's totally ridiculous. Anyone would have seen the buses if there were supposedly buses. It's really the only way to access it is primarily through the subway. And we have Trump supporters taking over the subways coming up to this. And, you know, we overwhelmed the opposition and the protesters. So, again, you know, you look at her, you look at her little town hall or whatever you want to call it. You look at all these other people. They are scared. They realize that this was a huge day for President Trump. We're not saying that he's going to win the Bronx, but he's making a dent. And politics is all about moving things on the margins. And he certainly did that yesterday.
So, I mean, there's some chatter that Donald Trump can win New York. I'm not a believer in that. I want him to win Arizona first before he wins New York. But what would that possibly take? I mean, that is a potentially what I think he showed is longer term effort. This can tighten, but, you know, 23 points short in 2020, I bet he's going to perform much better, and that will carry a lot of other House Republican types. What's going on here?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I agree with you. It's still a very, you know, long shot, but I do think this is going to be the closest it's ever been for President Trump. It's probably going to be the closest any Republican has been in New York at presidential level in a very long time. You know, you see the Siena polling coming out every month. They do a poll, and they're generally one of the better pollsters here in New York, especially as it comes to gubernatorial races and others. They've shown every month it's tightened by a point. So I think the most recent poll had it about as a 9-point differential. And, you know, if that trend continues for another 6 months, you know, you could bring it within three within the margin of error if he keeps that up. I certainly think he's going to see a boost from this latest rally. But like you said it best, this is going to help down ballot candidates. It's also going to help his national popular vote figure, which, of course, doesn't matter in the strictest electoral sense, but it's certainly a number to brag about. And it's a number that shifts the narrative. But listen, I think states like New York are realigning. I think states like New Jersey are realigning. We are seeing a whole change going on in this country where some of these Democrat-dominated areas are finally beginning to wake up. They've seen years of mismanagement and one-party rule, and they're pushing back. And I think President Trump is taking advantage of that to the best of his abilities. So I think these moves are strategic, and New York City is a microcosm of the country. So he can come to the Bronx, he can go to the bodega, he can meet with the Steamfitters Union in Midtown, and he can talk about issues like the border. He could talk about issues like crime, like corruption in New York in a big media market. So none of these things are wasting any resources from elsewhere, particularly when he's already in New York for this crooked and ridiculous trial. But I definitely think he's going to have a very good showing in New York. I think it's going to be beneficial across the board. And if you told me in 10 years that New York is a more purple state, I'd believe it. It wasn't too long ago that Lee Zeldin got 47% in this state. People forget that. So if Lee Zeldin was able to get 47%, I think that shows a good floor for where most Republicans should be going forward.
Yeah. So final comment here, Gavin, it seems like the Trump trials are continuing. Is Trump going to do a rally at Madison Square Garden?
I'm hoping, I'm praying. I know that's come up a few times. I mean, I've heard some numbers in terms of the cost there. It certainly would be a lot, but I can't think of anything better in terms of optics, in terms of New York aesthetics than, you know, taking over the Garden and packing that out. I think that would be historic in a big way. And look, again, New York is very close to PA, for example, or even New Hampshire, and some of these other states that are a little bit more in play are certainly much more critical. So there's no reason you can't have a bunch of, you know, PA residents coming in from New York, from Pennsylvania. So I think all of these things work. They're cumulative. We saw the same thing in Wildwood. That's in the Philadelphia metro area. That's in their media market. So they're not just targeting New York. They're not just targeting New Jersey. It's these entire, you know, media markets. And I think that's a brilliant move.
Very good. Gavin Wax, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gain this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, probably most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com.
How many people at that Bronx rally yesterday do you think have a four-year degree? Let's just guess. Can we show the B-roll again? At that Bronx rally, what percentage do you think got a four-year degree? I'd say probably 20%, maybe 15-20%. In the hood, that is the muscular class. They work at their hands. One of the reasons why they're so outraged is that Joe Biden is going out of his way to bribe and pander for sweeping student loan amnesty. He took a law that Congress passed after 9/11 allowing for an emergency suspension of student loans due to the war on terrorism, and said this allowed him to use the COVID emergency as an excuse and cancel any loans he wanted. Last year, the Supreme Court said, nope, you can't do that. That's clearly not what the law was meant for. But however, Joe Biden keeps on doing it. How desperate is Joe Biden to win? How desperate are Democrats to cling onto power? They're just flagrantly ignoring the Supreme Court and doing amnesty anyway, by tweaking their plans slightly and claiming it's a totally new approach. Biden has already given out more than $15 billion worth of student loan forgiveness, affecting more than 300,000 borrowers. Right now, his administration says they're planning a bigger amnesty hitting as many as 30 million borrowers. Their plan is basically slightly tweak our old forgiveness, say it's a totally different one, and dare the Supreme Court to stop us again. And of course, if the court does stop them, they'll just find another way to ignore them. This is a lawless regime. The Biden government doesn't view the Supreme Court as an equal branch of government to be listened to. It's an obstacle to be overcome or to be steamrolled. Even if it fails, the plan is to make it so that there are millions of people who either credit Biden with forgiving their unpaid loans or make them believe that a Biden win for them is a direct financial windfall for them. Biden is basically trying to buy votes with taxpayer dollars very directly. And this creates mass resentment amongst those of us that did not go to college. I did not go to college, and I do not have a four-year degree. Many of you do not have a four-year degree. The same perversion that is involved in the plunder intergenerationally of older people that are stealing from their children, this is equally as perverse. We are going to tax the plumber so that they can bail out the feminazi who has a degree in North African lesbian poetry. How does that make sense? We are going to tax the police officer, take his money to go pay the Starbucks barista that has a marketing degree. It is a tax, and it is a plundering of those that did not go to college. It's also a tax and a plundering for those of you that went to community college and paid your way through school. It is a tax and theft of those of you that played college sports, woke up very early at 5 a.m. to get into a 40-degree pool to go swim laps because not that you were that passionate about swimming, but you wanted to get your school paid for, understandably. It is an insult to those of you that worked three jobs to pay yourself through college. What Joe Biden is doing is he is mass signaling on the incentive structure side, which is, should you pay off your loans? And I could tell you, a family that I know very well has about $30,000 in student loans. They have a ton of money. And recently we were having dinner with them and they said, yeah, you know, we're not going to pay off our student loans. I said, why? They said, oh, Biden's going to do it for us. We'll just pay the minimum. I said, well, that's really morally questionable just to have me, Charlie Kirk, write a check so that your student loans can be paid off. However, many people are going to make that calculation. It's called a moral hazard. Why would anybody pay off their loans? And you are punishing the tens of millions of people that lay drywall, that drive taxi cabs, that drive trucks. It makes America a sicker society, encouraging destructive behavior, predatory behavior. And Joe Biden is so desperate to try to do better with younger voters, specifically college-educated younger voters, he is willing to take the money from folks that shower before work and after work, take their money away. And by the way, there's other people that didn't go to college that aren't just in the muscular trades. There's people that didn't go to college that are in computer science, that code, that are entrepreneurs, anyone who does not have a degree. This is Robin Hood in reverse. Steal from the poor to give to the elites. Take from those who don't have to those that do have. Why? Because they decided to go study something stupid at Northern Arizona University. You are on the hook for that, not the welder, not the mechanic. Anybody who works with their hands, we need a triumphant message this November that you will not vote for Joe Biden and his upside down, backwards, plundering tax, taking your money and Robin Hood in reverse, take money from the workers to give it to the elites.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly onto you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, and some of you may not even know about it. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. brand new 4-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, they're premium My Pillows with the all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425 today. That is promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
Joining us now is Judge Mark Henry, County Judge of Galveston County. So, Judge, welcome to the program. Little Galveston County, Texas, could end up playing a very outsized role in our national political discussion, and a Fifth Circuit ruling could help Republicans flip over a dozen seats. Please explain how this happened.
Certainly. Thanks for having me, Charlie. The concept is called a coalition district, which means you don't have enough of a minority to create a precinct for them, so you have to group minorities together. The problem is it only ever benefits Democrats. It never benefits Republicans. The Biden DOJ came down, threatened us after our county commissioner redistricting, said, if you don't create a coalition district, we're going to sue you. I said, sue us. That's fine. They sued us. We knew we would lose at the trial court level because the Fifth Circuit ruled on this in 1994. But when we went to the Fifth Circuit to appeal it, the three-judge panel said, well, we've already ruled on this, but we were wrong. Please ask for a full court hearing on this. They granted it within a couple of days. We had that full court hearing a couple of weeks ago, and now we hope that we're on the verge of the entire court reversing the previous court's decision to allow coalition districts. If that happens, then coalition districts are done underneath the Fifth Circuit, and that's at least five seats in the House of Representatives, if the state legislatures will go back and redistrict and break up the coalition districts. Then if the Supreme Court will take it and rule similarly, which we think they will, then that's where you're going to get the 12 or more seats across the country. But again, the individual states have got to go back and engage in the redistricting process and break up the coalition districts.
So would this then be in effect this November, or is it too tight to this election?
It'd be too soon because the ruling from the Fifth Circuit, while would be immediately effective, the state legislatures wouldn't have time to go back, redistrict, hold elections, and have candidates on the ballot in November. So it's not going to be anything that's going to impact this November's election. But if the states will do what we're hoping to give them the tools to do, it will be effective for 2026.
Please explain how this happened. I know there's some legal minutiae here, but break it down in layman's terms how this all happened.
The Voting Rights Act of 1965 established a lot of criteria for trying to fair up elections. Something that is not mentioned anywhere in the Voting Rights Act is coalition districts. It's what I call legal fiction, but some plaintiffs started arguing it and some courts started allowing it, and it's just been going on for a while now. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals rejected it a long time ago. The Fifth Circuit, like I mentioned, affirmed it in 1994 in a split decision, 9-7. So it was only two votes to pass it in 94, and that's what, again, we're trying to get rid of. Legal fiction doesn't exist anywhere. It's a concept that plaintiffs, always Democrats, came up with to protect seats that they could not otherwise get.
Yeah, so the significance of this is remarkable. And Sheila Jackson Lee is probably only a congresswoman because of coalition districts. And Judge, can you help me understand? It's the left that is always complaining about gerrymandering. They're the ones that are coming in to try to create districts and maps that best fit their political agenda.
That's exactly right. And you're right on both those points. Sheila Jackson Lee's district looks somewhat like a boomerang. They have to draw this really crazy precinct to get her, or to get a Democrat, her in this case, elected. But yes, you're absolutely right. And the thing that I find interesting is that this is a county commissioner lawsuit. The Biden DOJ seemed to care a lot about a little old county commissioner, and they're going to end up, you know, flipping the House of Representatives more favorably toward the Republicans. So I like the irony in that.
So the timeline is that this would be in effect in 2026. And just so everyone understands, the potential coalition-based districts in Florida, there's Orlando, Tampa, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Georgia, Georgia 7th, Indiana, the 7th, North Carolina, 1 and 12, Ohio, 11, South Carolina, 6, and several in Texas. So this could have wide-ranging national implications. Is that correct?
That is exactly what we hope and expect, yes. So the Fifth Circuit, once they issue their opinion, if it goes our way, as we expect it will, that will cover the states of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. Then we need to get it to the Supreme Court so they can have a ruling to make this a national issue where nationwide there are no more coalition districts.
So if it goes up to SCOTUS, so does it need to appeal, or what is the process there?
Correct. Once the Fifth Circuit issues their opinion, we expect the plaintiffs will appeal to the Supreme Court, but that's where it needs to go because we're going to have differing decisions out of courts of appeal across the country. That's really difficult for a nation to have different courts of appeal having different opinions on a legal issue.
So we have a small 3-4 House majority right now. We're talking 12 seats. So in reality, if this would have been fixed previously, Republicans would have a much greater House majority potentially. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. Once again, it's up to the state legislatures to have the will to go in and say, okay, now that we've been given these tools, let's take advantage of them, redraw the congressional districts, and do away with coalition districts.
So then is that the action item, to have the audience contact their state legislatures, make them aware of what is happening here? What is the call to action for the audience?
That is a great call to action. You've got to wait until the Fifth Circuit issues their opinion. We expect that to be this summer. I don't think it's going to be all that long of a wait. And as soon as that happens, then those three states, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, absolutely contact your legislatures and say, get in there, redistrict using these new tools that you've been given by Galveston County.
Well, you guys are doing great. I want to just ask you just a Texas question here. Texas does not get enough attention for the amount of Democrat money pouring into Texas. Ted Cruz is going to have a closer Senate race than I think people realize with Allred, who's raising a ton of money. Can you just talk about the politics of the border? We are seeing certain congressional districts that used to be Democrat safe havens become more and more Republican. Educate our audience on that. I know that you're in Galveston, which is not quite on the border, but still the same state. Walk us through that.
Absolutely. The border is a complete and total nightmare. We do send deputy constables and deputy sheriffs down to the border to help our friends in Kinney County. Kinney County only has 6 law enforcement officers. When we go down there, we generally double or more than double their law enforcement presence. And these constables and sheriffs come up and tell me how terrible it is. It is just unbelievable. They destroy private property. They leave trash everywhere. And they're breaking the law by just jumping across the water and coming into the country. We see them here in Galveston County. Virtually every magistrate court I see the docket for has got Spanish only by some of the defendants. They are, I can't say that that's definitive that they're illegally here, but there's more and more that don't speak English at all. So it's a problem for every county in this country. And I'm surprised that some people still don't realize that.
In Texas, do you believe that that issue is going to swing in Republicans' favor even more so in 2020? Is it baked in, if you will, with the everyday Texan? When I visit, the border is a top issue.
Without question. And I've got to say, I'm pleasantly surprised that one of the groups who's most upset are the people who immigrated here legally. They're very upset that they went through the process correctly, did everything right, and now it doesn't matter. You don't have to do that anymore. Just come on over.
It's remarkable. Judge, thank you for your leadership on this, and thank you for educating our audience. We'll be watching this very carefully and closely.
Thank you
so much. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's go to Cut 109, please, talking about there are more Republicans and dissatisfied Democrats in the state of New York than we'd like to admit. And I want to build you up, and then I want to also just kind of make sure we sober ourselves. Because there's a new article out of Real Clear Politics that I think is very important. Play Cut 109.
Could Trump's visit help him make inroads in these voting blocks that have been more traditionally Democratic, like with Black or Hispanic voters?
The real reason why Donald Trump is going to the Bronx is to say to the Democratic voters of the Bronx, has Joe Biden been here? I don't think he necessarily thinks he's going to get Black and Latino voters to vote for him. The strategy is to get them to abstain from voting for anyone on the top. New York is the reason why Joe Biden didn't have unified government in 2022. We're the ones who lost the 4 members of the House who went over to the Republican Party. So, yes, it seems like a long shot that, Donald Trump would ever win New York. But looking at those Lee Zeldin numbers in 2022 does make me realize that there are a lot more Republicans and dissatisfied Democrats in the state of New York than we'd like to admit.
Here's the other part of the Bronx rally that's very important. It makes Democrats defend their own turf. It's easier to defend turf than it is to take new turf. But now they're going to have to spend more money in House seats. They're going to pour more money into these core districts. Remember when Donald Trump said, what do you have to lose? He does not have to ask that now because Blacks already know what they're losing, their purchasing power, their country. Now, things feel really good, everybody, but I want to talk about this article from Real Clear Politics. Quote, in our Real Clear Politics national 2-way average, Marquette today has the race tied. exactly where we had it three months ago. Quinnipiac has Biden up one, and Morning Consult the day before has Trump up one. And these are national polls, not state-based polls. Quote, RCP polling averages show a very, very close 2024 election. It is so tempting, everybody, to see these Bronx clips, to see this and say, we're going to win in a landslide. Wrong. Stop it. Go do the work. This should then show you we can win. And honestly, I think this is going to be super tight. I think this is going to come down to 5,000 votes here, 10,000 votes here, 500 votes here, 200 votes here. Register new voters. Chase those ballots. Get involved in your communities. Show up to our People's Convention in Detroit. This should give you the fuel to fight. This should give you the confidence that we can do this, that our coalitions are building. But there are still tens of millions of people out there that will vote on abortion. There are tens of millions of people out there that will vote Democrat no matter what, will vote blue no matter who. We need a clipboard army. We need every single one of you to download the Turning Point Action app and to knock on more doors and to find low propensity voters. Your job this Memorial Day weekend, let me be very clear, you have homework, everybody. Find one person. At the grocery store, at the restaurant, at the coffee shop, at a Memorial Day party, you find one person and when politics comes up, because it will, because everything about politics now, say, hey, are you registered to vote? And if they are not registered to vote, get them registered to vote right then and there. tpaction.com/vote. We'll put it on the bottom. That is your homework. That is your task. That is your duty. I did it with two low propensity voters this week, two new Republicans on the voting rolls in November, for November, right here in Arizona. That is your homework this Memorial Day weekend. Find a low propensity voter and get them registered to vote. Stop just looking at polls thinking we're going to win. 3 weeks from today, we will be in Detroit for the People's Convention. And no matter where you are in the country, you should make plans to come to Detroit. We have President Donald Trump as the keynote. I mean, can you get any better than that? President Donald Trump as the keynote. By the way, he's going to be fresh off the trial with some exclusive remarks. It's going to be amazing. We got Vivek Ramaswamy, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump Jr., Candace Owens, Congressman Michael Cloud, Mike Lindell, Congressman Eric Burleson, Scott Pressler, Brandon Tatum, Matt Gaetz, Tom Klingenstein, Warren Davidson, Carrie Lake, Lee Zeldin, Bishop Aubrey Shines, Congressman Eli Crane, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Jack Posobiec, Senator Rick Scott, Nigel Farage, Laura Trump, Governor Kristi Noem, Congressman Byron Donalds, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, and Benny Johnson. This is in Detroit. I mean, that is the best speaker lineup in the country. It's in 3 weeks. It's not too late to get your tickets. It's tpaction.com/peoples. And we are going to have breakouts and trainings. The energy will be off the charts. It's an all-star team. And it's all about chasing ballots and finding low propensity voters. Ignore the polls, chase ballots. Ignore the polls, chase ballots. Ignore the polls, chase ballots. Ignore the polls, get in the streets. Ignore the polls, knock on doors. Ignore the polls, get it done. It is so tempting to want to just look at this as if you are watching a sports game. You're watching the Yankees game. You're watching the Arizona Cardinals. You're watching the Dallas Cowboys. What makes politics different and what makes this different is that not only do you get to cheer for your favorite team, you get to participate alongside of your team and make it happen. Just today, we hosted a moms coalition at Turning Point headquarters. We can put that image up. We had over 40 homeschool moms and 20 kids, all of which are now signing up for ballot chasers. All that energy. Deploying that spirit to go knock on doors and to go find low propensity voters right now. We are winning with low propensity voters. We are winning with low propensity voters. And that's up right there. That was just at Turning Point headquarters just a couple minutes ago. The team is doing a great job. And it's going to require all of us, going to require you. That's why we're doing what we're doing in Detroit, to give you the marching orders, to make you know that you're not alone. You hear from your biggest leaders. The breakout sessions alone are worth its weight of coming. How to use the Turning Point Action app, how to take over your local Republican Party, how to become a precinct committeeman, how to properly register voters, hearing from people like Scott Pressler, Steve Bannon, Mike Lindell, and then the names that are moving the dial every day, Candace Owens, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ben Carson. This is how we win, and it's going to require every single one of us. Stop being a spectator. It's not like watching the Dallas Cowboys where you think you make a difference because you wear your favorite jersey and you cheer real loud. You make no difference. Dak Prescott is going to win or lose regardless of your cheering. Donald Trump will win or lose based on your agency and your action. It's a big difference. If election integrity is your thing, we're going to have entire workshops of how to secure our elections, how to get involved and see what's actually happening and to prevent that in Maricopa County, in Pinal County, in Fulton County, in Cobb County. No matter what state you are from, coming to Detroit at our People's Convention is going to be time well spent. Every single one of you is a mini campaign office, a force multiplier. That's how you have to think about it. You say, well, Charlie, I can't leave the home very much. Totally get it. Then use the Turning Point Action app to start making calls. Some of you are unable to knock on a lot of doors, still influence your local family and make a list. We're going to tell you one of the things that we're going to start talking about over the summer is, have you made your list of your 100 voters that you're responsible for? 100 people that during voting month, you're going to start knocking up. So, Charlie, how do I know those people? You know 100 people. Go through your phone. Go through your phone and find those 100 people that you know hate Joe Biden, and you just have to be responsible for them. You get 500,000 people to own their neighborhood, we are going to have a tsunami. I'm not guaranteeing victory. I think it's 50-50. I still think Joe Biden has advantages in certain ways. He has a lot of money. He controls the intel agencies. They are going to deploy something dramatic and asymmetrical. It could be a virus. It could be a cyber attack. It could be a drone strike. It could be a war. Be on your guard. Only the paranoid survive. The question is, do you want to be free or be a slave? And it's going to require agency, going to require grit, require work, require hustle. And what we do at Turning Point Action is we work our tails off. We will work harder than the Marxists. So join us in Detroit. Join us in our effort, tpaction.com. That's tpaction.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.